gag me, take me to the bunny ranch. People dying, kill me in the packing house. Even you have
goal! Goal, 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 goal!
If I didn't know what subject we were podcasting about today, Mr. Culkin, I'd be very afraid right now.
Yeah, me too. I'm afraid of myself every day.
What up, man? Welcome to Bunny Ears. I am Matt Cohen, joined by your illustrious host. Your name this week?
Oh, I am, let's see, Devin Sawa Jr. the Third Esquire. Junior the Third.
Wow, man. He's prolific, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That means he gets around. That means him and his beautiful wife mm-hmm. have beautiful children, and you're like the eighth generation offspring of them.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this fucking podcast anymore, folks? Yeah. Who knows?
Cousin lovers.
Sports.
Sports.
Sports ball.
We're going to talk about sports.
Sports.
Da-da-da-da-da. Sports.
Nailed it. And that's it. Thank you, guys.
All right, cool.
Goodbye.
Great episode. Great ep.
All right, cool. So, do you want to get a hamburger or something like that?
I would love a burger made of ham.
Ooh.
I hate those beef. But I hate those hamburgers that pretend to be hamburgers but are made of beef instead.
You're right.
I want like an old school hamburger.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Sports.
Badminton. You know what that thing in badminton is called? I almost gave it away.
Shuttlecock.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah, you blew it.
I remember finding that out in like, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade.
And you thought it was the most hilarious thing you'd ever heard.
Oh, god, it changed our lives. We would like force the teacher to say it and shit.
Remember one of the co-hosts, former NFL player, Hall of Famer, Dick Butkus?
One of our co-hosts? Oh, no.
No. Co-host of American Gladiators.
Was he really?
Yeah. Dick Butkus.
Do you know that's so great you mentioned that? Because today I spoke to my mom. And
I thought it was the most hilarious thing ever.
It's great. For a year now, I've been like, my parents know a guy with a funny fucking name, but I can't remember what it was. So I was like, Mom, you know a guy named like Dick Shit or like Cock Dick or something, right? And she was like, oh no, it's that guy who lives in the building. His name is Richard Seaman, but he goes by Dick. So my parents
Dick
know a guy
Seaman.
Named Dick Seaman.
Yeah, all right.
And all like right, proudly right. proclaims it. That's a good one, right?
Dick Seaman.
We're talking about sports.
back to sports.
We almost did a sports episode once, but it was naysayed by editor-in-chief of BunnyEars.com, Shanti Pasquale.
Well, because he's not an athletic kind of type.
Well, I don't even think it's that he's not athletic. He'd never watched professional sports as a kid.
There you go, yeah.
He doesn't know the rules of football, even.
Well, exactly. He's non-athletic and also was not a fan.
Yeah, you fucking spaz.
Yeah.
He loves musical theater and he's great at it. And he does a great job on the website. So
really?
Shout out to Sean.
Can he sing?
I don't know if he can sing, but he loves musical theater.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the difference.
Yeah. While I wouldn't say I'm like a jock by any means, and also I haven't watched like a professional sporting event other than the World Cup this year, selective matches. I'm watching the Olympics since I was like a teenager. But growing up, at least, like I loved fucking sports. Before I found weed, like I was like a normal white American kid.
Because you're a Long Island kid and you played football
and lacrosse, and we had season tickets to the Mets and the Islanders.
I was about to say the Islanders.
Yeah. So and we would go to Knick games all the time. So like I was if you open certain closets in this house, or like even notice we among the like Gremlins 2 posters and Ninja Turtle things, there will be selective Green Bay Packers memorabilia.
You were a Packers fan.
I was a fucking huge Packers fan.
Yeah. What was it? 96.
Yeah. It was
when they won.
It was Favre's like second season on the Packers.
Oh, so that's a little earlier.
A little earlier, because I followed them.
Because 96, they won the whole thing.
Oh,
Reggie
yeah, yeah.
White and Andre Rison.
I was definitely watching.
Desmond
like,
Howard.
I'd say 96 through 98 were my like active years as a fan. Because then they lost to the Broncos, I think, in the Super Bowl the next year. Mm-hmm. And then they lost the NFC Championship game to the Niners, I think.
Falcons.
I think it was the Niners, because I think Terrell Owens did that like miracle.
Falcons beat them the next year.
Oh, okay.
Year. Yes, that's
but regardless, for some reason, like this little kid in Long Island, I was a huge fucking Packers fan. Mm-hmm. Like I bled green and gold or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I had I owned stock in the Packers.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you have it like framed?
I don't anymore, unfortunately. I have a lot of like
anymore, but you did.
I did totally. If you go into my laundry room, I have a game worn framed Brett Favre jersey that I got from my bar mitzvah.
And it's in your laundry room?
Yeah, because who are
because
I'm
it's dirty.
Embarrassed. I'm also embarrassed to display sports stuff. Weirdly enough.
I know, but there is a picture around here. I've seen you like with like
yeah,
your jersey
my football
on.
Jersey.
Yeah, your football jersey. Yeah, what position did you play?
I played both sides of the line.
Oh, look at you!
I was an offensive guard and a middle linebacker.
Wait, you played the line?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And really? I was not big.
I know. That's why I'm kind of smiling.
Yeah, we didn't grow them big in Syosset. So the other great thing, dude, is so I played football for 3 years in school. We lost every game we ever played, and nice. We never scored a point.
Nice.
In the 3 years we played, we were the worst football team in the
world.
That's
fantastic.
And we were all like shrimpy little Jewish kids, and they would like. We would scrimmage against these towns from out in Suffolk where, like, dudes would come in with full-out mustaches.
Yeah, yeah. Like a 14-year-old with a mustache.
Yeah, and we'd start fucking shaking. You know what I mean? Yeah, they were all over, like, 6 feet tall and stuff. So we sucked at football, but we were great at lacrosse. You grew up in the city.
Yeah, I was a Manhattanite.
Not far from the world's most famous garden.
Yes.
The Madison Square.
Oh, yeah, the Madison Square Garden.
Did you go to a lot of, like, sporting events as a kid?
I was a big basketball fan. I've talked about that before.
Did you go to Knick games?
Yeah, I did a good amount. And especially back then, I was able to procure some nice
I was going to ask, did you get to sit courtside a lot?
Yeah, I've sat like, you know, 2 seats over from, you know, Spike Lee.
Sure.
Like those courtside kind of things. I remember looking to my left and there's Spike Lee. And then, you know, 2 seats over to my right is Magic Johnson. And I'm like, oh, look what
That's
I did.
So awesome.
Look what I
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At how old?
Oh, gosh, maybe about, like, 12,
yeah,
13,
exactly.
Something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, they were looking at you, and they were like, fuck.
I remember one time I went to a Knick game. My lawyer took me to a Knick game. It was one of those, like, it was like a Friday afternoon game or something like that. And I had just dyed my hair, like, bright pink. And it was also raining, too. Okay. So it was actually bleeding.
Was it like the Manic Panic shit?
Total Manic Panic.
So it came out instantly.
So yeah, it was bleeding, too. And I was sitting right in front of Adam Sandler. And I already did SNL with him at that point a couple years earlier. And so at one point, he pokes me on my shoulder. I turn around. He goes, here, this is for you. And it was the lid to his drink. Like, that's all it was. It was just the plastic
okay,
lid.
He was just fucking with you.
And
yeah,
he was
yeah.
like, here you go. This is for you. It's like, oh, okay, you know. And then a couple of minutes later, like, I gave him, like, you know, the remnants of my hot dog. Like, kind of just like, dude, this is for you. And the whole game, we went back and forth.
Just traded things with each other?
Just traded, like, the most absurd, like, kind of thing. Like, here's a piece of lint from my pocket. You know, here's the guy. So it was actually,
amazing.
It was actually kind of cute.
I got to sit, I don't know if I was courtside, but I got to sit close a couple times. And I remember one time vividly, it was like, I must have been like 9, and I went in autograph heaven. But the weirdest thing was like, it was a combination of Jaleel White, where it was like, yeah, 9-year-old me, Urkel. So into that.
Yeah, yeah. How many Urkels did it take you to get backstage?
Oh, exactly.
One Urkel.
But then it was also like Gabriel Byrne and Vivek A. Fox, where I was just like, I think
Gabriel
you're a famous
Byrne.
Person. Get on this ticket, buddy. There was, and I saw an MTV VJ, the kid who had won, not Jesse Camp. Did he win the first one?
Yeah.
Then it was Jesse Camp.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who was going like this. The one who was also, at the time of this recording, currently missing.
Oh, is he?
Do you not know about that? I thought that's why you brought it up.
No, no.
Oh, yeah. None of his friends have seen... No one's seen Jesse Camp in like a week or something, and his family and his friends are really concerned.
Oh, geez. I should get on the Facebook.
Shout out to Jesse Camp. And yeah, we hope you're good by this point,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Shit, we're going to put a disclaimer in front of this episode.
Oh, Jesus.
Talking about
again?
Jesse Camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've had the pleasure of meeting him kind of thing. I mean, he was really excited to meet me. He was one of those
kind
of guys.
He's an excitable guy.
Yeah, he's an excitable guy. And it was kind of just like, all right, cool. There's Jesse Camp. Like,
did you go to Ranger games as well ever?
No. Wasn't
we're in
really,
a hockey family.
I'm not a hockey guy. You know, yeah. I mean, I doubt your family. Like, I mean, no, actually, you went to Islander games.
We went to Islander games, but that was more of just like, I think my dad likes hockey. My dad likes all sports for the most part. He still watches, you know, sports, but that was just like an activity to do with the kids. And it's not like me and my brother were into it. My brother less than me. So we would go to like, we had season tickets to the Mets and we were like right above the dugout. We had great seats. And I remember I would bring like a book and my brother would bring like a coloring book and crayons. And one day my brother spilled like a Crayola 200 set Jeez. Into the dugout.
Oh, nice.
And they all like rolled down and fell out, and all of the Mets scurried around the dugout and helped my brother, my little like 5-year-old brother, get
adorable.
All his crayons back and shit.
That's cute.
But I used to go to these games in like full defiance mode. Like, I wasn't into it. You know what I mean?
Wearing like, the Devils like jerseys or something like that.
I would do other team jerseys on purpose. I had a Russian hockey jersey with a penguin on it. That I used to wear everywhere. I don't know what it was from. It just looked cool.
Just a contrarian.
Just a contrarian since an early age. But like, I definitely, like, and you're only a few years older than me. Like, our Knicks, I remember vividly. So let's see what we can do. We got Patrick Ewing, clearly.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going, because I can name him.
I know you can. John Stark.
There you go. Starks.
Starks. There was the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Latrell Sprewell came later,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you also had
Oakley.
Charles Oakley, who wore he wore the glasses thing.
Sometimes. One time where he got gouged.
Not Alonzo Mourning, is it? Was it? Who's the one I'm thinking of?
We had Derek Harper. We had
Derek Harper,
Greg Anthony. Anthony Mason.
Anthony Mason. I was about to say Mason Gamble.
And he was one of those guys who was only 6'7", but he was thick as a wall.
Yep, yep. Kind
of, he actually passed away recently.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah. Aww. But he was the guy who would have the thing shaved on the side of his head.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Like, he would always kind of have different sayings once a week, like shaved on the side of his head. And he was a guy who was thick as a wall, and played like pretty much small forward, power forward, but could also like dribble and play the point guard. He was great.
Were your family also basketball fans? Like, was this a thing you and your brothers got together and watched Knicks games and stuff?
I am the only one.
Really?
Yes. Kieran for like a second kind of thing, just because his older brother was into it, so he kind of got into it for a second. But no, I am the only one in my whole family that would want to watch like even football on Thanksgiving or whatever.
Were you a football guy too?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where it started with the basketball and then watching SportsCenter.
Sure.
Like, you actually catch some baseball, you catch some football.
You learn a little bit about every sport.
The names of everything, and then boom, you know.
Who was your team?
In football?
Yeah.
Oh,
Giants?
Giants.
Yeah.
Giants fan.
Who likes the Jets? New Jersey and Long Island? It's a weird spread on the Jets.
Bridge and Tunnel.
There you go. Yeah, that actually makes
sense. The Bridge
and
Tunnel crap.
Because they were like the whiter Giants. It felt like safer, the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I only went to one NFL game in my life, and it was a fucking terrifying experience.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because I was used to like Met games and Islander games, which are very, very tame compared to like 200 fucking thousand people or whatever at Giant Stadium, and everyone is drunk, and it's just like a sea of humanity. My dad got nervous and
beer smelling humanity.
Exactly.
And those bathrooms, I swear, looking at you.
It's just a different experience at football game. Everyone's level of intoxication is like that much more. Like people get drunk at baseball games, but it's not the whole fucking crowd.
It's always cold.
It is, because it's always that cold. Season. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, play football in June. Maybe I'll come.
Yeah, exactly. You get more Matt Cohens in the audience.
Were you a baseball guy?
Yeah, I mean, I around the same kind of time-ish, a little bit like later than the basketball thing. But yes, no, 96 Yankees, like, boom, that's my team.
Did you go to games?
Yes. I actually like going to baseball games.
Me too.
I actually like
that they're boring.
I like the mid-season, exactly, nobody showing up. Like, that's why I like going to Mets games. Nobody's there.
Yeah, buddy.
And just like getting like even just like 12 of your friends and just going up to the rafters and eating, like, you know, just terrible hot dogs.
Well, that's what's fun about
stupid beer.
It's like going to a show, right? Yeah. Like, the sport doesn't, you can pay attention to the baseball if you want, but it's all about like I went to a baseball game in Tokyo just for the sheer experience of it.
Because they fucking love it out there, man.
It was crazy. And they also have like,
they're great too. Their league is fantastic.
The way they serve beer in the stadium is tiny little Japanese girls have kegs strapped to their backpacks, like as backs. And they walk around with kegs and pour like actual tap beer. And they're all like really cute. And everyone like tips them a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
that's cool.
And they chant the whole time. Like, it's crazy. They love baseball, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that. No, like I said, I used to go to Mets games. I've done things in the stands.
What does that
with
mean?
Ladies? Like, you know, nobody's
meant,
there.
Like, you were part of a wave?
No, it's a part of a wave. No, it's like, yeah, like, no, let's go to the upper deck and like fool around.
Yeah, my version of that is like, I've smoked a lot of joints at the very top of Shea Stadium through like the grating and in the you know, upper deck or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. I've done a similar kind of thing, but with less weed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Less weed and more ladies.
Yes, exactly.
Weed is my lady, apparently. That's
you're my lover.
So sad. I haven't been to any sports games recently. I want to go to a soccer game.
I've been. I used to go to West Ham United when I was living in London.
Was it fun?
Oh, totally. It's more fun than on television. On television, it's kind of like shot from like way overhead, and there's no like personalities or anything like that. You get even just an okay seat. You can actually kind of see what the heck's going on a little bit. Like, you're a little more invested. All live sports in general, they're better live. Like, if you don't give a shit about hockey, like, you know, bring a lady to a hockey game, she'll all of a sudden like hockey.
Well, it's like WWE or fish.
Yes, or like fish.
Any good live show, right?
Yes, and so like, you know, soccer's a good, fun, like live kind of show and things like that. So yeah.
WWE, we talked about it before. I only been to a couple as a kid, but that was also like a very, compared to like baseball games, was a very scary environment in like 97.
Yes. I mean, you still had, like, it was still a little more carny-esque.
Yeah, the crowd was hostile.
And there were still people who believed, like were true believers kind of thing that would like, yeah, like just... It's the Bret Hart wrestling with shadows kind of thing.
It's the
and there's like there's a certain
it's still,
people.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It's, yeah, there's the still real to me. It's like, oh, like, you know, if it wasn't for Bret Hart, I wouldn't have gone to medical school kind of thing. And it's
speaking,
like, bravo.
Random interjection, but we're recording this about a week after Comic-Con. Did you hear what happened with Jamie Lee Curtis this weekend? Some dude.
Did she get Me Too'd?
No.
Okay.
We're waiting for that. Some dude at the Halloween panel got up on stage and said, like, hi, Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, I never thought I'd meet you. The only reason I'm here. And also, 30 years ago, Halloween saved my life. I was alone at home, and someone had cut my power, and there was a man outside my house with a butcher knife, like, stalking me. And I thought, like, what would Laurie Strode do on Halloween? And he, like, ran up. But regardless.
Ran up the stairs.
He said he ran to his neighbor's house and, like, got a bunch of knives. But he, like, broke down and started crying and they hugged and all this shit. And
wow.
It was weird. And it made me go, like, how many people almost get serial killed that we don't know about? And how come I immediately go, like, there's no way that could have possibly happened?
Yeah, I mean it sounds like a story.
You think people like cut people's power and try to murder random? I guess it does happen, right?
Sure. I mean, it's not a story.
It happens to people. It has to happen to someone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, exactly. But yeah, did they ever catch the guy? Like, I mean, was
there was no follow up?
That's
on
what
the story.
I'm saying.
That's
yeah,
why I
mean,
was like, wouldn't you there know be what? A newspaper article about this?
That would have been a really good. Like, honestly, if it's a lie, it's a good one. I mean,
yeah.
you just weaved this web.
Oh, you got the sympathy of the crowd real good.
Yeah,
they were
yeah
all like,
exactly.
He's the real Halloween boy.
Whoa, he's like, yeah.
He's the boy who lived.
Oh, he's a Strode.
Yeah. That's another sport. Running from masked serial killers, I guess.
Yeah.
Running.
Going the stairs.
Running in like track and field and I guess like the Summer Olympics in general never really did it for me for some reason.
You know, I'll watch it every 4 years.
Yeah, same here, buddy.
Yeah, I'll watch it at the Olympics.
But no more. Yeah. I will only watch the Summer Olympics once every 4 years.
Yeah,
otherwise, it's overkill.
Exactly. Like, I'm actually interested in like, this whole post-Usain Bolt kind of thing. What's going to happen?
I guess the fast...
Usain Bolt actually just signed with a soccer team.
Did he really?
Yeah, with a football team.
Do you think he's going to be great at soccer or just really fast?
No, I mean, like, he's just going to be fast.
He's going to outrun the ball?
He's probably not going to play a game.
He's a cool guy, though, man. Have you heard him talk and stuff?
Yeah, no, he seems like a red little
dude.
Yeah,
he's a cool Jamaican dude.
Mm-hmm. Jamaican dudes, like, I mean, not to, like, this is not, like, a
positive stereotype.
Yeah, no, this is a positive stereotype.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's
they're
like,
pretty cool by
Jamaicans
virtue,
are fucking
right?
Awesome, cool people, man. Like, yeah, they're always, like, chill as fuck and, like, just, like, funny and cool.
We're about to get real with you Jamaicans. You guys are cool as fuck.
Yeah, just,
in
like,
general.
Stay woke.
Take that. You know what? I take that back. Like, track and field, while it's not the most exciting thing to watch, they are definitely, like, the closest thing you can get to thoroughbred humans.
Well, yes. I mean, it's what I like about
there's
that
no
sport.
There's no equipment, right?
What I like about that sport is that you can actually equate, like, it's a level playing field, actually, physically, and you actually know this person is faster than this person because they were literally running on the same field at the same time in the same conditions.
You know what I often think about? That's a great segue. I'm fascinated with what Olympians do after the Olympics, right? You're a fucking figure skater. You're Tanya Harding. You're
a lot of them have day jobs, man.
They have to, right? Because like you train your entire life in one very fucking wow, I'm losing it. Very specific skill.
Yeah,
it was that light apple cider you gave me.
We've been drinking
truth
apple
bomb.
We've been drinking
apple
cider today.
Yeah. Ooh. You train your entire life for this one very specific skill, right? You train like 8 hours a day. You finally fucking make it to the Olympics. You win a gold medal. You're on a Wheaties box. You do the late night circuit. The American curling team, you met them.
Yes.
When you did the Tonight Show, right?
Yeah.
What are those guys all just have normal day jobs?
For the most part, yes.
You have to, right?
Yeah. They get sponsorships for the Olympics and so forth. And yes, there are competitions over the, like, you know, the 4 years.
Sure.
There's the worlds, there's regionals, the US, the Canadians, like there's all that kind of stuff, which they do have prize money, you know, so they can they can earn. But like, no, for the most part, like, yeah, no, they're, you know, like, they're not necessarily dishwashers, but they're waiters and bartenders.
Well, it was interesting things. So, like, I grew up with a lot of, like, really good lacrosse players. Long Island's, like, the best lacrosse place in the country or something. And a lot of the kids I played with went to, like, Harvard and Princeton and got recruited full rides to play lacrosse. And then once they graduated college, they never played lacrosse again. Because your only option is professional lacrosse, which pays, like, $15,000 a year or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of, like, you have to really love lacrosse.
Yes.
Because there's also, like, time and dedication that goes
into
it.
And I feel like there's a lot of that. Wait, anything that's, like, professional outside of the Olympics and is not one of the big four sports, you have to fucking be dedicated to do it, right?
Exactly.
Bowling.
You'll make more as a teacher, really. Like, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. As teaching that sport, probably. Yeah,
I mean, in individual kind of sports, like, you can kind of make a living more so. Like, bowling, like you just said.
You can make a living in bowling?
Yeah, I think you have to really work the circuit, and you're on the road all the time.
Golf, you can make a lot of fucking money.
Well,
right?
Golf is like, yeah, like, no, you can.
That's crazy. Yeah. But like archery, if you're the best archer in the world, you're not fucking making bank off of it.
No, you're also like selling cars too in the meantime.
All right, another digression because we don't want to bore people with sports. So
sports.
Mac, there's a documentary in Warren. I'm talking to you too. I suggest you seek this out. There's a documentary out there. It aired on the BBC, I think, and it's called "I Married the Eiffel Tower." Okay. And it's about women, and I don't have the exact name, and I'm not even gonna look it up. But it's about a group of women around the world. There's probably
like big towers.
They fall in love with inanimate objects.
Okay.
Okay. One of them
sports.
Eiffel Tower. One of them is the Berlin Wall. A lot of them just
Empire State Building
fences, and you realize
phallic symbols,
even fences, because they'll marry yes, it's all phallic stuff that they could grind on. This documentary culminates in a woman grinding on the Eiffel Tower and getting kicked off of it. But
go on.
The Eiffel Tower woman, before she was married to the Eiffel Tower, she was married to a bow. Like a bow and arrow and she was a fucking Olympic level archer because of the relationship she had with Bo. Again, not a creative name.
No, I know.
And then she fell
Bo
out.
Bo
was of,
her bow. Yeah, that would have named it like Derek.
She fell out of love with Bo.
Okay.
And her archery fucking sucked immediately. Like, and she quit archery.
It was only because she liked like plucking bow.
It was her relationship with Bo, right? She was in love with the arrow, and again. Folks,
this exists. This is a documentary.
This is real. It's a documentary. Seek this out. And the best part about it is there's a woman who is in love with an amusement park ride that is hundreds of miles from her home called 1001 Nacht. It's a German carousel-looking ride.
Yeah.
And she carries around a picture of it on her clipboard. And that's how she like sleeps in bed with it and stuff like that. And here's if I could really sell the documentary for you folks. At one point, this woman... who was also previously in love with a church pew, but got kicked out of the church for having sex with it.
Go on.
She gets on her hands and knees. They travel. They bring her to the amusement park where it's out of season. She gets on her hands and knees under the ride, and she recites a poem to it while rubbing the oil grease from the ride in her face. And just a snippet of the poem is, and I'll never forget, I love this. I've seen this documentary hundreds of times.
Really?
Hundreds of times. She goes,
"You sympathize?
1001 Nacht, I love you for your straight angles. For your bold girders, I want your fluids, I want your fluids, I want your fluids."
Wow. So, you know
sports.
What? I'm having a hard time responding to this while trying to be as kind as I can
sports.
To these people who have this.
Here's why I am kind to them. Because a counterpart documentary aired that was about men who fuck their cars.
Yeah, no, I'm having the same problem with
that. Well, no, I have a worse problem with that. Because there were like... maybe legitimately like 50 women who self-identified as suffering this from this disorder or whatever you call it. There were like 3 dudes, and it was all them just jerking off onto hoods of cars.
Look,
and they got 2 of them together, and they put them in the same hotel, and then it cuts to the next day, and one of them's like, "Did you jerk off on my car last night?"
No. Yes.
It's like cheating with someone's girlfriend. So the dude one, I go like, "You guys are just jerking off on cars." The women one, I go like, "You women are broken in the head, and I feel bad for you."
I mean, yeah, I feel bad. At the very least, though, there's not like a bestiality kind of
call. It's
like,
just bows
no one's being hurt.
No one's
besides
hurt.
Themselves.
Yes, of course.
Like, you know, so I can kind of handle that.
Well,
to
I
a
think
certain
there
extent.
Is a cool, somewhat of a cool fucking twist on like if this woman was genuinely in love with this bow, maybe that's what made her an Olympic level fucking archer.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think there's something? I don't want to say supernatural to sports, but like, do you think it is pure? athletics and pure talent and skill, or do you think there is something a little like? Do you think they have a deeper connection with what they do?
It's a little bit of everything. Like, yes, you have to have that pure kind of skill, that pure kind of like, yeah, like no matter what, like my height and my build, I will never be able to play in the NBA.
No,
like that kind of thing. So like, yeah,
Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, except for the Muggs. And Spud Webb, and Nate Robinson too. But yes, no, I am not built for that kind of thing. So you actually have to have a natural inclination when it comes to physicality. Beyond that, you also have to actually have an innate skill.
Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Right?
Innate skill, like, boom, like, you know. But at the same time, it's also, I think a lot of athletes grow to loathe what they do because they've been just doing it, you know, just in repetition, in infinitum, like their whole lives. I mean, look, the Williams sisters or whatever, like, you know, they were just drilled all the time, that kind of stuff.
Homeboy, I hate to get fucking shrinky on this one, but I would argue the same thing happened to you with acting.
I mean, no, I mean, like, whatever. Like, it's.
But to an extent, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, it was totally tennis ball. Lots of tennis balls. That's what it was.
It was just,
yeah.
It was you golfing on, like, kiddie courses. Yeah.
I was like Tiger Woods. I was constantly putting.
Constantly putting. That's what that kid did, man.
Yeah. But I think no matter what, like, you know, the Kobe Bryant's the world.
There's something innate.
Yeah, but also don't. But they also grow to like kind of like really not give a shit about basketball anymore. It becomes a job.
Like drummers, right?
That's what I mean. It becomes a job.
Yeah.
Exactly. Musicians, exactly. Like a drummer. Like, yeah. Like after a while, just because you're good at it and you put the work into it, like doesn't mean you necessarily love it anymore.
Or especially if you're in like
you work at orchestra or something like that. Like you were, a trombonist. You know, yeah. A trumpeter. All you've been doing is that for freaking ever. Like, yeah, you lose your love for it or you kind of like get dead inside a little bit and then you keep going.
And that's why they're paid this much money, a lot of them. To do this shit, right?
Like, I mean, like, no, it's the same thing. It's like, imagine you have to eat like freaking like ramen every night. Like, you know, no matter how much you love ramen. Yeah, you know, just like,
I get it, dude.
No matter how much you love ramen, you're actually going to like, you're going to grow to loathe
ramen.
Sure,
no wonder LeBron wants to do Space Jam 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about it.
Best sports movie ever made.
What?
What is it?
No, I was going to say.
It sounded like I was implying it was
Space Jam. It sounded like a statement. I knew it was a question.
I changed it. At the end, I went, oh, fuck, I fucked up. we can spitfire. So here's some I like. Space Jam is a fun one.
Space Jam. Kingpin.
Kingpin, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, I was gonna throw that there. I mean, I don't love it as much as everybody else.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of late to the Caddyshack
party. I'll go Blue Chips.
That one's kind of fun.
With Shaq and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, yeah. And Matt Nover.
Is that who the white guy is?
That's the white guy.
I didn't know the white guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look at that. Yeah. I'm pulling that right out of my skull.
There were like a lot of good, there was a string of good kid baseball movies when we were young. Like you got like Angel in the Outfield.
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Major League.
Yeah. Oh, Major League actually might be up there for me. Like for real. I never really did Slapshot.
I never did Slapshot either.
Yeah.
Very Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, it was Canadian because it's hockey, but yeah.
I never saw it till like years later, and I was like, it's fun.
Yeah, same thing with Caddyshack. I watch it later. You know,
I was more of a Mighty Ducks guy.
Mighty Ducks is like, yeah, that one's pretty rad.
Recently, me and my friends were trying to think of. I was like, there was a baseball movie.
The Air Up There.
I loved the fucking Air Up There.
The Air Up There.
Kevin Bacon goes to Africa to recruit a Maasai tribesman.
Prince,
right?
Yeah. The Air Up There.
That movie's great. My Giant. Is that a sports movie?
It's no.
George Murasov, though, right?
Yeah, George A. Murasan.
Yeah. Who's now dead, right?
No, I think he's still kicking.
Is he still kicking?
Good for him, man. 7-7.
Does Airplane count because of Kareem?
It's not a sports movie.
All right, fair enough.
Unless you think aviation is a sport.
What was I just gonna say? No, I love the Air Up There. That's a good call.
Billy Madison.
Oh, the movie was. So I was like, there was a kids' baseball movie. It was so weird because the Rookie of the Year was when the kid breaks his arm and becomes like,
all of a sudden, all of his ligaments
pitcher, right?
Up. Yeah.
I was like, there was definitely a baseball movie where the kid doesn't play, but he gets to inherit the team.
That's the Angels in the Outfield.
Little Big League.
Little Big League. There we go. Thank you. I misspoke.
He becomes like the general manager of the Twins, and they lose at the end of the season.
Yep.
Good pull, dude.
Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears is a good one.
That one's great. I love how crass and how many curse words you're hearing out of these kids.
Like modern day ears would not be able
they
to fly.
They would never, ever, ever.
And that's
make
why
that
remake
today.
Was not great.
No, exactly.
They did with Richard Linklater, and it wasn't.
Oh goodness. Like you need like these dirty ass like kind of like kids. kids. And same thing with the Matthau character. Like, man, he does not want to be there, and he just cusses up a storm.
I liked so many sports movies. There was Tin Cup. It was a movie I really liked for some reason. Like that.
Rene Russo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Celtic Pride.
Oh my God. Geez.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Keenan Ivory Wayans. Dan Aykroyd.
Daniel Stern? No.
It's Dan Aykroyd?
It's Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern kidnap Keenan Ivory Wayans?
Yeah. Pretty much like the Karl Malone character, and they kidnap him the day before game 7 of the finals and tie him up to their chair in their living room.
That one's good. Ed? Do you remember Ed?
Isn't that the Oh no!
You're thinking of EdTV, which is
yes,
Matthew McConaughey.
Thank you. No, I caught myself. It's a Whoopi Goldberg one
with
where she
Frank
was
Langella.
Yep, and then she's a super fan who becomes head coach of the Knicks.
Yep, and she rides in on a horse and shit. And
No, there's a lot of NBA players in it, including Malik Sealy, RIP.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good poll.
Yeah, yeah.
What sports haven't gotten movies? There is a lacrosse movie because I
oh
was
my
like,
God.
Whatever happened to Brandon Routh? Do you remember who that is?
Yes, yes, yeah, Superman.
Yeah, I was like, what's he up to? And then I was
Heroes of Tomorrow.
Yep, now he's
He's a sweetheart.
Adam, right? On Legends of Tomorrow, I think. He's Ray Palmer, I think.
He's Ray Palmer, yeah, yeah. But I've met him one
evening.
He's
a cool guy?
And was totally charming and nice. I like him.
He did a... this is saying he's not charming nice, but he did a direct-to-DVD lacrosse movie called, like, Horse Feathers, about, like, a white guy coming to a Native American reservation and teaching them how to play lacrosse.
Wow.
And I was like, I think that's literally the only lacrosse movie I ever made.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, like, yeah, it's like a Dances with Wolves, but
with lacrosse. Yeah, exactly.
It's the
Last
Avatar.
Last of the Dog like, Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some other... what's the one with Matt LeBlanc and baseball and a chimpanzee.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I think that one had Ed in the title too.
I know. That's kind of what I'm thinking too. I keep on hearing Ed in my head.
Was that one just called Ed also? He's a pitcher and he's got a monkey on
his
shoulder.
No, he's playing third base. No, like the monkey plays like, I think, third base. But yeah, keep on hearing Ed in my head.
That one was Ed. Okay, that one was Ed. Then what was
Eddie.
The name of the Whoopi
Eddie.
Go-
Eddie?
Eddie. We're just missing an Ed, and we've got the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Ed TV.
Ed and Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's your... Folks, you've got a movie marathon night ahead of you. It's Ed TV, Ed and Eddie.
Eddie. That's Little Giants.
Little Giants was like, hey... Shout out to
my boy
Little Giants and Ladybugs. I also liked
Ladybugs. Actually, I liked that Vanessa Shaw was so cute.
Was she the girl in it?
Yeah,
she was super cute.
She was super cute. She was like adult cute when she was too young to be adult.
Go back and watch that movie. It is problematic as fuck.
Oh, I mean, just like any of the transgender
and all
gay
of the
jokes,
Rodney hitting on like young teenage. The implications that Rodney is having sex with like the fake teenage girl.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough one. It's like My Father the Hero. Do you remember that one?
Oh, my God. Like, you know, thank goodness for little girls.
That's the one scene I remember from
little
it, too.
Little girls get bigger every day.
I think that was America's one time we saw Gerard Depardieu in a movie.
Yeah, right? Wait, you never watched Green Card? What's up, bro?
What's Green
Card? Come at me. Come at me.
Is that a Gerard Depardieu movie?
Yeah, fuck yeah. You won a Golden Globe for it.
There's been a dearth of good sports movies in the last few years, I feel like, right? Like,
I don't know. Give me an example.
Oh, you know what was great? Creed.
Oh, loved Creed. That's actually like that. Like, I kind of think it might be my favorite Rocky movie.
Me too. I'll say it is. It's
the first Rocky is fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
They shoot the boxing in Creed
it's
so
fantastic.
Fucking well that you're like so into the fight. Do you know, are the new ones coming out? You see the trailer for it yet?
Yeah, looks great.
Drago Jr.
Yeah, looks great. Looks fun.
I'm into that. Were you a boxing guy?
I'm a big boxing fan.
Me too. So my family, because I grew up in the casino industry.
I was
so
gonna
like,
say you have the Vegas kind of background.
We had in my basement there were boxing gloves, autographed boxing gloves, fight gloves, like hung all over because my grandpa would get us into like every fight ever. Mm-hmm. So like I got to sit like ringside at like I remember.
What are some fights?
De La Hoya Corte.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was a good one. Mm-hmm.
De La Hoya obviously won.
Holyfield Tyson won.
Oh wow. Okay, there you go. Let's see.
Because you were on New York, or did you do Vegas stuff too?
No, I did some Vegas stuff.
What is a memorable one?
I saw Holyfield Moore.
Okay.
One. Yeah, they did fight later. What else? I saw Bo Holyfield one, which was a big one.
Which was after? Was the first one after Tyson or no?
No. This is
Bo had it or no?
No. This is when he won it.
Okay.
So it was. Tyson lost it to Douglas. Douglas dropped him to Holyfield. Holyfield lost
to Riddick Bowe.
To Riddick Bowe in number one.
I forgot Riddick Bowe beat Holyfield. Yeah, and Buster Douglas beat Tyson.
They fought three times, and Bowe won 1-3.
Dude, that Buster Douglas guy was a fucking joke.
No, no. Honestly, he fought
a fucking perfect fight against Tyson.
He fought a perfect fight, and he was in perfect shape.
That's all he had,
and he had really great like strategy, and he stuck to it, and he beat the best boxer of, like, at that point was one of the best boxers of all time.
You know what's fun?
No, you rewatch that. Like, though, that guy puts on a masterwork. He really does.
He beat Tyson, right? In his prime.
Yeah. I mean, Tyson was like, you know, whatever, out of shape.
And
like,
his prime, but yeah.
He every time Tyson, because he wanted to get close, he kept on clinching him, so he couldn't do anything like close. And like, no, he outboxed the best boxer in the world.
My family did work with Foxwoods Casino, so they officially sponsored Vinny Pazienza. So I used to go to a lot of Pazienza fights, the Pazmanian Devil.
Yeah, no, I know Pazienza. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love boxing, man.
Yeah, no, big fight fan. Have you been keeping up at all lately?
With boxing, no. It's just Mayweather and... It's what happened last week, right? Mayweather and some guy are fighting now?
Pacquiao. It was Pacquiao. Just he got the WBA
welterweight. Pacquiao bums me out. You know why, right? All the fucking homophobic shit from a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a super religious, like, fucking bigot. Yeah. And I was like, oh, and also this is the last one.
And a congressman in the Philippines.
In Philippines, right?
Yeah. But no, there's Deontay Wilder.
He's good.
He's a heavyweight. He's knocked...
He's heavy. There's a good heavyweight.
He's like 47-0 with like 46 knockouts.
That's when everyone...
And there's Joshua, and there's Anthony Joshua, who is like 20-0 with a bunch of shit knockouts. That's what it's all about. Between the two of them, they have all the heavyweight belts. We're looking for that. That's a super fight.
Are there no more Klitschko's?
No. Finally, like Vladimir finally retired because Anthony Joshua took him down.
Really?
And it was actually a really good fight.
Well, I think when
Mr. Penitieri, finally like has called it quits.
I think modern boxing declined after like was Roy Jones a heavyweight?
For a minute.
Okay,
she did win a heavyweight
title.
It was
like Lennox Lewis was the last great heavyweight champion, in my opinion.
Lewis? I mean, that's actually where the lineal title kind of ends.
Ends, right? And then since then, they've...
From Joe Lewis to him, essentially.
And then since then, it's been Mayweather and Pacquiao, and it's been the lighter weight guys, and, like, it's not that I don't enjoy that, but, like, everyone... When I grew up, like, heavyweight boxing is what you watched. It was, like, Mike Tyson.
That was what... Yeah.
George Foreman and Holyfield.
Moore.
Exactly.
Bo. Lewis. Like, yeah, no. It was a bit of a golden age kind of going on there.
When I was a little kid, Sugar Ray Leonard used to babysit me in Vegas because my grandpa knew all these boxers and shit. So like, that was like, I came from like a real boxing family.
That's fantastic. Yeah. No, that welterweight division in the 80s, like him and Hearns, Durand, and they also had Hagler in the middleweight division. Yeah. Like that stuff, that was also a golden age.
Are you a UFC guy?
A little bit. Like it was kind of a slow to the party. I've only gotten into it in the semi-recent, in the last couple of years.
I don't think I ever watched a UFC match before Rousey.
Oh, really?
And I think
Rousey was your gateway?
Rousey was my gateway, and then Conor was my second gateway. Mm. And now I'll watch CM Punk fights. I think that's over, though.
I think I'm pretty sure they're done with that.
I'll watch Brock.
Well, I used to watch them. I used to go to these underground poker clubs, and whenever there was a UFC thing on, it would always be in the
background. I thought you were about to be like, I used to go to these underground poker clubs where men would also fight while we were playing poker.
No. The UFC would be on the background because you bet on freaking everything when you're at those kind of places. All right. Here's a stupid...
Hit me.
Here's a stupid question.
I love it.
Is poker a sport?
This is the whole, is a sport a sport? Okay.
What is a sport exactly? Like, you know.
I'm loose on that.
Okay.
So, like,
they showed on ESPN.
Sure.
Or at least they used to.
Poker is a sport. But if you're saying poker is a sport, then, like, StarCraft is a sport.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. Where's the line?
I don't know. I don't think there needs to be, like, because people always bring up bowling and golf, and I go, like, right, because if those are sports, then fuck having to be athletic or move.
Yeah, but also there is a, you know, athletic, at least nature to those. Like, I mean, you actually
StarCraft,
you're being...
Hand-eye coordination.
You're being physical, though. I think something that defines a sport is being physical with your body, even if you're only using, like, you know, only,
you
like,
say
one arm.
Chess is a sport?
No.
It's a game.
Is that
how you're defining it between a sport
and a game? It's a game, and also you can also say it's a skill. But like, no, I wouldn't call it a sport.
Ping pong.
That I'd put in the sport category.
Let's go quick fire. Yeah, because it's funny. Archery. Yeah.
Sport.
Definitely a sport.
Definitely
it's competitive.
A sport.
Like...
It's skill. It's a physicality to it.
Hacky sack.
Ooh.
Because it meets the physical criteria.
Yeah, no. Honestly, like, under my criteria, I would actually call it hacky sack.
You hear that, hacky sackers?
But here's what I'll say is that actually...
We got there.
Here's what I'll say about hacky sack, though. It doesn't have a competitive nature to it.
There is a competitive way to play it.
So, for points. Okay, then, cool. Like, yeah.
There's freestyle competitions that are, like, judged and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, people legit tried to make hacky sack an Olympic sport.
Oh, yeah, no, ultimate frisbee, too. Like, an
sport?
Ultimate frisbee?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a physicality to it. There's a scoring system. I'll
physicality other than just movement of fingers, because like
you use your whole arm at the very least.
Okay,
so if I call bowling a sport, I have to call frisbee, ultimate frisbee, a sport.
Golf is clearly a sport because of this.
Yeah,
karate.
Yes.
What's a game then? What's like one that's a close one for you? Like just squirts under the line for game.
Ooh, gosh. I'm trying to think of like something like something that also involves a physicality. Like Hungry Hungry Hippos would be like a borderline, because it has a physicality to it.
Potato sack races.
Yeah, exactly. Like three-legged races. Looking at
tether ball.
A tug of war used to be in the Olympics.
So sport.
Yes,
because of that.
Well, not just because of that, but like I have no problem with that being in the Olympics.
Snowboarding and skiing.
Yes.
I go activities.
Yes. Here's the problem with that. Same thing with ice skating. Like, you know,
because they can be judged
because you're being judged for points. It's a little bit more. That's why, like, you know, I'd like kind of like the 100-meter race. It's like, no, you are faster than this other person. Period. And it's not arbitrary. It's not up to judges to vote. So, like, when it comes to certain kind of gymnastic kind of things or figure skating, like, you know, like, yeah, like being judged by
athletic
an outside
competition.
Yeah. You know, so it's a little tricky that way. You know, in boxing is done on a scoring system that sometimes can be like really skewed.
Sure, and that's super athletic, right?
Yeah.
So here's the big one: pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling. No,
purely super athletic.
Yes. No.
Non-competitive though, so right, it's got to be both.
Yes. Like exactly. Like, you know, you have to have a winner and loser, and like it has to be actually competitive.
Okay. Bobsled.
Those two guys.
Bobsled is their physical activity.
Yes, you're physically pushing that thing down. You're leaning your weight around. Like you're actually like, no. There's both skill and physicality.
I see what you're doing here.
Yeah. No. If you couldn't, you like all of a sudden you lost the use of one of your arms or something like that. You couldn't be a bobsledder.
Beanbag toss.
Oh, you mean like a cornhole?
Cornhole. Yeah.
Athletic and scores. Okay, yes, I would put that. That would probably be like, there you go.
That's
that would
your
probably
borderline.
Be where my, I think that might be where my line is. And
line is cornholing?
Yeah, cornhole is my line. I think that's my bottom
Pull
line.
Pull that quote, why don't you?
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's bottom line is cornhole.
Cornhole, that's my bottom line. Yeah, that's right, girls.
Do you ever wish you were like great at, what was a sport that you had no skill at that you wish you were good at?
That I had no skill at that I wish I was good at. Gosh.
Like, do you ever wish you were faster? Do you ever wish you were, like, fucking good at tennis or, like, you could hit a home run or fucking...
I mean, the answer to all those is yes. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, but, like, have I ever really, like I'm looking at this as, like, what I wish I would
have
wanted.
Because you didn't have, like, gym class, right? See, I did, so, like, basketball defeated me.
See, I played basketball on my, like,
I
little, like, JV
worst.
Team. I was actually pretty good. I was a starter on my JV team.
I could
team.
Not yeah. hang in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, it was embarrassing and it was frustrating. And like,
I could see that. I could see like you wouldn't have the motion.
I just didn't have it. And I started to go like, all right, come on. You're fucking smart, Matt. Like imagine the invisible trajectory in your mind. I was like, that's easy, right? Like draw a path from where your hand releases into the net. And I would draw like a beautiful mind. You'd see like a fucking
and all the little numbers. And
then I would, my hand would release and it would go behind me.
Yeah,
and I would fall simultaneously.
Oh yeah. Actually, you know, not to be Semitic or anti-Semitic, like a lot of like my Jewish friends were like the best basketball players.
Are there many Jew NBA players?
No, there used to be in like the, you know, the 40s and 50s and stuff like that. And then they kind of got assed out a little bit.
That's
after
so
a while.
It's always if it's
but no, but there's actually a lot of really great Jewish players. There's a rich tradition, especially in New York City.
Sandy Koufax, right?
Yes, he was a great basketball player.
A great Jewish basketball player.
No, see, I was short and white, so like I like just learned to shoot. Like that was
were you,
like, my
were you
thing.
Like a good outside shooter guy?
I was Mark Price.
You were that kid. You were What's the guy in the Jazz? Not the Jazz.
No, you're thinking about Steve Kerr?
I am thinking of Steve Kerr.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone thinks of Steve Kerr. Like, yes, I was
the white guy.
I was the Steve Kerr, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I had a little more handles than that, but I was okay.
Remember teams that existed when we were kids that don't exist anymore? And like vice versa. So there's no more Jazz. And I only know
the Jazz. No, the Jazz still exist.
But not in Utah?
No, they're still in Utah. They used to be in New Orleans, and now they're in Utah.
And New Orleans has something called the Hornets now that used to be the Charlotte?
Okay, this gets confusing.
See, here we go. Do it.
Okay, so it was the Charlotte Hornets.
It's like the beginning of basketball.
So the Charlotte Hornets moved to New Orleans and were the New Orleans Hornets.
Okay.
Then they decided to give a team to replace Charlotte, like the old Charlotte team, in Charlotte.
What's that, the Bobcats?
The Bobcats.
Okay.
So then the New Orleans team decided to change their name from the Hornets
to
the Pelicans.
To the Pelicans?
Yeah, the
That's
Pelicans.
The worst fucking team name in basketball history.
It's the worst name fucking
ever. Oh, boy.
Ever. And then what did the Bobcats do? Change their name to the Hornets.
Get the fuck out of here.
So, yeah, it was the Charlotte.
Is there still a Pelicans?
So, yeah, so there's still Pelicans in New Orleans, and the Charlotte got the Hornets back.
And the Jazz went back to Utah?
Yeah, and the Jazz are in Utah. Jazz have been in Utah for, since I don't know, the early 80s, late 70s.
You know what was a cool team? The Supersonics. Mm-hmm. They had cool jerseys. I like their colors. They don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore. Now they're the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oklahoma City is nowhere near Seattle.
I know.
Oh, you mean that team became the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, they picked up the entire team.
I've never heard of
that. From Key Arena, and they moved them. There's a whole documentary that you can watch.
About them moving?
Yeah, it's only about an hour or so. And just kind of how they kind of got, how the whole city got screwed over. I think they're first in line if they're going to add another team to the NBA. Seattle's on the top of the list, which they should, because there are 30 teams in the NBA, but 16 of them make the playoffs, which means more than half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, so it should be at the very least 32 teams.
They should get the Supersonics back.
Yeah. I
think that'd happen?
I would, whenever I'd play those things. Yeah, I think
you'd play as the Sonics.
Yeah, I'd play as the Sonics. Whenever I was
doing
those.
They had cool colors, man. I had a Sonics jersey.
They were
dope.
That
shit was fucking dope. Yeah,
Peyton and Kemp and all that kind of stuff.
I remember vividly when the NFL added the Panthers and the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
And
they both did really well.
They both did really well. And here's a little anecdote. I had Pogs. I must have been in fifth grade. So that just
I had Pogs.
That time stamped it. I got NFL Pogs, all 32 teams, right, when the expansion happened. And originally they were the Carolina Cougars.
Really?
They changed the name before the season started.
Well, actually, that was the name of the ABA team.
Were they really?
In the 70s.
The basketball team?
Yeah, the basketball team for the ABA was called the Carolina Cougars. I remember that because that was the name of my fantasy basketball team.
You ever see the Globetrotters live?
No,
you
haven't.
You never had the pleasure?
But I used to watch those when I was a kid, and I used to think it was the most hilarious thing ever.
I've seen it multiple times. It is quite a show.
Yes, I know. Those guys are great.
They used to come to my camp and shit. Sometimes you'd be like, oh, the Globetrotters are here.
It got to the point where you rolled around. I was like, oh, I've seen this
before.
Because
it was what are you going to do? Steal the ball from that guy and then take his wig off? And then jump on the top of the net. Yeah, we know Curly Joe.
Yeah, all right, Curly Joe. What's in the bucket? Is it confetti? Ooh.
Meadowlark, what have you done for us lately?
Yeah, Mr. Meadowlark
Mr.
Lemon.
Lark, yeah, Mr. Lemon, Mr. Meadowlark Lemon.
Yeah, no, I used to watch them on TV. And it's there's that Simpsons bit, which kind of I thought the Generals were due.
Oh, yeah, he bet on the Generals.
He bet heavy on the Generals. Look at him.
I wish other sports had that.
Yeah, actually, you don't really see a weird exhibition kind of team like that,
like a Keystone Cops football team.
Yeah, exactly.
They keep the balls all greasy and it keeps slipping out of all their hands and shit. Yeah,
Benny Hill's playing while they're playing football.
Mac, I think we just thought of a new business idea.
All right, well, you know what? I have an offensive guard right here.
Me? You mean Sasser High School's most improved player, 1998?
Look at you.
And also,
what did you play on defense?
Middle linebacker.
Wow, God, look at you.
Because I wasn't big.
Look at you, fucking Brian Urlacher here.
I wasn't big. They started me as defensive end, and I was I would rather just run around at the person who has the ball.
Yeah.
I was decent. I got most improved player, and then my entire life I've been it's hung up right there at the plaque. Most improved player, Matt Cohen, right? Mm-hmm. Sasser Braves. My entire life, anytime I bring that up, my parents go, you improved from horrible to not as horrible. And I was like, cool, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah, thanks, parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, parents are the best sometimes.
Sports never worked for me, man. But you know what I did? I really...
Also, we're not built... We're honestly, like, yeah, I would love if I was 6'5 and thick. You know, that would be great. I'd be good at certain sports.
It'd be fun to casually be good at sports.
Yeah.
Even. I don't want to play... I never wanted to play the NBA, but, like, to not... To be able to, like, shoot a basketball competently would have been, like, fun at certain points in my life.
See, I can still out-horse anybody.
Are you still... You still got it?
I'm pretty solid.
I saw you play basketball at Nick and Lindsay's wedding.
Yeah.
You got it.
I got it.
Look, Mac, one day I was, was it at that wedding? No. Okay. So I was on LSD a couple summers ago.
Go on.
In Big Bear at a similar place, right? And it was like 2 a.m. and I was like wandering the property of this place and all my buddies were in the house like doing whatever people do on acid. And there was a basketball court. And for 15 minutes, I didn't miss a single fucking shot. And I've been horrible at basketball my entire life.
But like all of a sudden, like you're lifted. So now, you know.
I was like, oh my God, on acid, I'm the best basketball. Like I could have been on the NBA if I did acid every day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was one of those like singular moments where I didn't want to push it either. After a while, I went like, all right, I don't want to jinx it and start missing shots. It's good to know that like when pushed, I can take a dose of acid and just fucking swish, swish, swish. It's legal now. Get over it.
Yeah, I'd love to see you on the football field on acid. Like, see what, you know, like all
that
of a sudden, like, yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, probably. Like all of a sudden, you're fucking Reggie White.
What's that baseball player who pitched the perfect game on acid? Have you seen that cartoon?
Yes. Oh, fuck. I forget.
That shit's the best, man.
Yes.
That guy was cool as fuck.
Yeah. He passed away finally, like, a couple years ago. For the Pirates.
I remember, speaking of Charles Oakley. Mm-hmm. Did we bring him up earlier?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah,
he didn't. I remember at a certain point, maybe like 10 years back, he came out and said like 80% of all NBA players smoke pot in the locker room before the games.
Mm, yeah,
which was made me happy.
Yeah, there's actually video online of him like getting into a fist fight with MSG security.
Really?
Because he's sitting like courtside, and they ask him to leave for one reason or another. And next thing you know, he like starts throwing fists,
starts throwing bows,
and then all of a sudden, like 8 guys get on him, and they escort him out. That's like, sports? He actually just got kicked out of a casino in Vegas for cheating.
Charles Oakley did.
Yep.
Oh boy. Yeah. How the mighty oak has fallen.
Yeah, I know. But like,
that's a great segue for our last topic on this fun packed sports app.
Yeah, sports.
Sports controversies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, famously, I remember when Latrell Sprewell choked out
PJ Carlissimo.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, no, believe me, I'm an NBA fan. I told you.
He choked the shit out of him.
Yeah, no, and then not only that, like, no, he punched him, left practice, and came back about 10 minutes later, and then choked him out.
And choked him.
Yeah. And then, you know what? The Knicks traded for him. And you know what? At that point, for real, this is no joke, he was my favorite player in the league.
Me too.
Sprewell was fucking
awesome.
He was my favorite player in the league.
I had his shoes.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, that's a whole subject entirely, but like...
All the shoes.
I had some Iversons. I had some Shaq. I had the Shaq with the CO2 cartridge.
Love it.
And it exploded in my closet and scared the fuck out of me. What's the guy... See, I don't know names because I'm not really into sports anymore, but there's two big ones in the last few years, right? There's Ray Lewis with the dog fighting, right?
No, that was Michael Vick.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Ray Lewis killed his wife? Or beat his wife up?
No, that's Ray Rice.
Oh, that's the guy in the elevator.
Yes.
Sorry, Ray Lewis.
No. That's why. It's like I'm making sure we're clear.
So Michael Vick was the guy who was running like an illegal dog fighting ring.
Yeah, like in his backyard and stuff. And like, yeah, he had all these like kennels and pens and all that kind of stuff. And like, it was bad. And it ruined him and it should have ruined him.
Good, yeah. And Ray Rice is the dude who got caught like punching his girlfriend in an elevator, right?
Yeah.
Did it ruin him?
You know, okay, I'm going to say allegedly just for legal purposes. But like, you watch the video.
Isn't there a video of it?
It's not very alleged. He hasn't played since.
He suffered ramifications from it.
Yeah,
too.
No, he hasn't played since in the NFL.
Pete Rose. It seems like so tame compared to the modern shit.
Here's Pete Rose's problem.
Okay, hit me. Because he's been an asshole ever since, allegedly.
Yeah, he's been a bit of a dick the whole time. And all he had to do was admit it.
Admit it once.
Admit it. And it took him like about like 15, 20 years before he actually said something. And he put it in a book.
Warren, for those of you who don't know, and we realize a lot of you might not be sports fans or you might live in other countries where you don't give a shit about our sports. So Pete Rose was a baseball player.
He has the most hits in major league history.
Great baseball
Big
player.
Deal.
And he got caught betting on himself.
No, betting against his own
team. Oh, betting against his own
team
and stuff.
So, and then he got like thrown out because he was a manager at that point.
He got kicked out of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, he wasn't even like elected. So what happened was he retired, then he became a manager, And then they found out that he was betting, like,
as a manager, he was betting against his teams. Well, not as a player.
Here's the thing, is that he was betting. Okay, boom. So that's enough to get you kicked out.
Yes.
It's, you know, again, it's illegal. Also, it's like against, it's all standards. So boom. Then he he kind of didn't even admit to that. Then there was like a thing where it's like, oh, he's also betting against his own team, which is like the hugest no-no, because you could actually like manipulate the game.
Throw the game. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So then he didn't admit to that.
In the fifth, your ass goes
so
down.
He said like, no, that didn't happen. And then, you know, like, yeah. Then he finally admitted to everything about 15, 20 years after everything. And this is a guy who like is a bit of a carny. Like, you know, at every year at the Hall of Fame like ceremony, he would set up like a signing booth outside of
it. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
No, I know. And kind of just like, yeah. And
he's like the Virgil of baseball.
You should see his like interview when he finally admits things. And he's kind of just like, yeah. And I'm sorry. And like, he's kind of just like, and kind of like, he's not sorry. He's not a good dude.
And then the other biggest ones of my lifetime, I would say, is the baseball doping scandal, right? So that's Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa.
Anyone else except those three?
Rafael Palmeiro.
Rafael Palmeiro, you're right, yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the other one that, Canseco.
That was years later. Canseco became a snitch.
When you watch them in front of Congress, because they're all testifying in front of Congress, is the only one that's being straight up with all of them. Where it's like, he's actually not being a dick and turning them in laughing.
Do you follow him on Twitter? He's an actual crazy person. Check out Jose Canseco's Twitter. Yeah,
I know.
It's fun.
He's
Allegedly.
Yeah, he's allegedly a crazy person.
Remember that shit, though, with McGwire? There was a whole summer with the race, right? It was McGwire and Sosa.
Yeah, yes.
And it's all anyone fucking cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane bought the ball for like $1 million. That got devalued really fucking quickly, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. All those dudes who spent all those money on all those home run balls, 60 through 70.
None of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame has like cock blocked all of them.
All of those guys.
Anyone who's caught up in that kind of scandal is...
Barry Bonds was the craziest one, too, if I remember. Because he was like old as shit at that point.
And the sad part with him is that he didn't need to.
No, he was great.
He was already great. He was already big and strong. He was already like clubbing home runs. He was like, you know, he was a 40-40 guy. Like almost nobody does that, getting 40 steals and 40 home runs in the same season. Nobody did that before him.
Here's a New York one for you. I remember when Doc Gooden got in trouble for all the coke stuff.
Yeah.
He was on the Mets. Yeah.
But at least that's not even performance enhancing. He's just kind of just like, it was the 80s and it was New York.
You know who I loved? Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla.
I was a big Bobby Bonilla fan.
So do you know about the Bobby Bonilla Day?
No.
So this was about like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So so the Mets signed him for a buttload of money like way back in the day.
Yeah, in like 1989 or some shit.
No, it was actually like in like the mid-90s early 90s, looking at him. And actually wasn't even like, it was a buttload of money back then. I mean, they're talking about like $4 or $5 million kind of thing. They wanted to get rid of him.
Favorite. And then he went to the Orioles,
They wanted to get rid of him, but they couldn't trade him because of his contract. And they couldn't they wanted to buy him out. So his lawyer got him a buyout where they pay him, and this is with interest.
This is a Bobby Bonilla Day every year?
Yep. It comes up every July, and they pay him, and like I said, it's with interest. So it's something like $200,000, like $300,000. He's still on the payroll. He's still on the payroll with the Mets now, and it's going to go on for about another 10 years after this.
Oh, that's amazing.
And not only that, it goes up every year because it's with interest. So he's actually like the $6 million he was owed, he's actually going to make about 30 by the end of this entire thing.
Oh, like a Joker deal.
And he's getting $200,000, $300,000 every, like, once a year on Bobby Bonilla Day. And the Mets fans, we all know about Bobby Bonilla
Day. Amount of money...
There's actually a 30 for 30 that they did
I love that show. Even though I don't love sports, I love 30 for 30, and I love the real sports of Brian Gumbel.
They did one about the Von Erichs. Well.
I did see that.
That was one of the shorts ones, and that was really cool.
We'll wrap up on this subject, Mac. And I've often thought about this, right? So check this: LeBron James is getting paid like $800 million a year or whatever, right? And like all of these athletes are world famous. And like as a little kid, I would sit in a stadium of like 50,000 people, and I'd be like, all of these people are here to watch like those 10 guys, right? But there's also something fairly gladiatorial to all of professional sports, because that's kind of where it stemmed, right?
Yeah.
So there's always been a weird dichotomy, especially with basketball, and I don't want to get like racial about it, but it was always like watching old white people cheer on young black guys always felt a little iffy to me, right?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
There is something societally strange about that kind of hero worship that we still do have, and we're willing for these people to pay. Everyone, every basketball fan in the world would justify why LeBron James is worth $200 million.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, I mean, they're bringing in billions of dollars.
Because
so
it became an industry, right?
Yeah, no, so of course he has to get his because he's bringing in that money. So, again, no, he's justified.
But it's not like there were professional sports in, like, the 1800s.
I mean, there was.
Was there?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there was boxing and even baseball.
Well, I guess you're right. Maybe you the 1500s.
Catch and catch can kind of. Like, no, even then there was jousting.
And there were like famous jousters and
absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess
absolutely.
You're right.
No, that's the thing is that.
We've always had this.
Exactly. Gladiatorial days.
That's what it comes from,
and
right?
Jousting and
cavemen. Like, which caveman could club the other caveman hardest?
I mean, essentially, like, yeah, there was always games.
I bet one
always
caveman,
rolling the bones.
I bet they had like rock throwing contests.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, like some kind of primitive form of discus.
Yeah, or frisbee golf.
Yeah, exactly.
It all comes back to frisbee golf.
Ultimate
guys.
Frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee. And that's where we'll leave you. This has been a sports-filled conversation, and yep. Our way of announcing Vince McMahon, Ebersole, you're not alone. We're throwing our hat into the football ring.
Yeah, yep.
Coming in 2020, Bunny Ears football.
Let me know if you want me.
Yeah,
I'm available.
Max available, and also we are also starting an upstart
also,
football.
I know
league.
A really great offensive guard and middle linebacker. Just saying,
both sides of the ball, most improved 1998, y'all. Mac, I hate to do this to you, but we got to talk about ourselves for a minute. Where are we at on the internet?
Oh,
you look so sad.
No. I was kind of just like, where are you going? Like, I guess my listening face looks sad.
I like to keep him surprised.
Yeah, yeah. See, I am at Incredible Kulk. On the Twitter and at Kulkamania on the Instagrams.
And we are at Bunny Ears Podcast on Insta, Bunny Ears Pod on Twitter, bunnyears.com. Of course, head on over, read the articles, buy a t-shirt, buy a hoodie. We got pins with me and Mac's faces on them.
Yeah.
Mac and I. Ugh, I'm sorry. I ruined that grammatically. I'm on all the things at Camel Toad. Keep listening to the podcast and tell your friends.
Phone number.
Oh, and of course, we have a phone number. We take voicemails. We play voicemails. And if you want to leave a voicemail, it's 845-393-4629. That's
what does that spell?
845-EVE-HOAX.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of it one day, folks. And that's been another Bunny Ears. Stay tuned next week for a big celebrity guest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, a huge one.
It's going to be huge.
Huge. Famous people are the best.
Yeah, it's going to be... Bulbous. It's going to be great.
It's going to be Bulbasaur.
It's going to be swelling.
And if we're lucky, it'll evolve into a Venusaur. You know what I'm right, nerds?
nice.
And that's about the end of Bunny Ears. I'm Matt Cohen.
I'm Mechalek Cluckling.
And what do we do at the end of a Bunny Ears
we
program?
Tell people not to suck too many dicks, but if you do, send pics.
And we'll do a 30-30 about it.
Yeah, 30 for 30 about dicks.
Find me, gag me, take me to the bunny ranch.
Hey, Warren and the other dudes who talk about the things I like, keep on keeping on. I don't know, some shit. I listen to your wonderfully eclectic diatribes to and from work as a paramedic. It keeps me sane. Continue your mouth sounds so that I do not succumb to the demons of PTSD. Also, I send Instagram of a box set of Home Alone selling at Walmart for 25 buckaroos. McLack McLaughlin, really? Come on.
Hey, what's up, dudes? This is my President Obama impersonation. Hey, what's up, dudes? I'm President Obama. I'm not the president anymore, and that sucks, but yeah, now I'm doing stuff. Right on. I hope you like my impersonation. Peace.
Yo, I'm working security, and I got keys to a Boston market. If you guys want to come and I almost said come fuck at the Boston market. If you want to come film some shit in the Boston market, I called before about me making my film for Mania the Mania. But I'm doing security over here in the Bronx, 231st and Broadway. So yeah, if you guys want to come film, I got keys to a fucking Boston market. If I can find some chicken, it's over. All right.
A Bunny Ears LLC production.
You are freaking lumberjack!